Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and who the hell gave Usopp permission to be that handsome in live action? Who, I say? And with me, I have...
It truly was the best of times and the blurst of times. But not for me, for other people out there.
And...
I got nothing. I got no joke to say this week.
You know, it just be like that sometimes.
We've been doing this for 7 years. What do you want from us?
They can't all be zingers, as I believe Primus once said. I guess there's no other witty intro here, so we can just jump into the formalities, as I believe we said. No, wait, we didn't actually say this. I'm losing track of time. Here we are on episode 322. So, how's everyone's week been going?
It was a week, I guess. I do anything or go anywhere? Not really. No. Not a whole lot's been going on. It's just, not a whole lot of stuff's been going on. I'm trying to make time for me, which... Well, I finally bought Final Fantasy 16 because it was on sale for $50, so that'll be a fantastic time killer. And I've never played a Baldur's Gate game, but I'm interested in Baldur's Gate 3 solely for the enhanced character customization tools and the copious amounts of nudity. That's a big selling point to me.
But Alex, don't you understand? Character customization is bad now because pronouns!
I don't understand why so many people have such a problem with, like, the most remedial of basic-ass grammar and vernacular of the English language and any language period. But then again, some people are just really fucking stupid and probably failed all their classes in school.
I feel like that just basically tells me how far they actually got in the education system. And I don't think anything's helping those kids.
No. Unfortunately, we've still got a lot of work to do with so many very stupid people out there. But, that's all I got.
All right. Mark, what about you?
Let's see. There is nothing of note for me to say. Damn. Yeah, nothing for me to say. Not really much has happened. All I can say is now we're down at dog days of summer or the last remaining days of summer, even though it's still kind of hot, but not as boiling type of hot. Not much has happened this past week for me, at least enough for me to talk about or to give a shit to say something about, but yeah.
All right. And as for me, well, this weekend I finally went out of town to Orlando to catch the Baby Metal Death Clock Baby Clock Tour thing. I was not able to catch Jason Richardson at the beginning because, it was a big line to try and actually get into the damn venue in the first place. But I can comfortably say that both bands absolutely slap live. Interestingly, Baby Metal actually ended their set on that very, very new song that they came out with a few weeks back, you know, the one with the Tamborello on it. And Death Clocks was just a whole lot of fun, although I do have to issue a warning. They tell you right at the beginning of the set that their visuals may trigger epileptic seizures.
I've seen live videos of them from, like, forever. I know.
Yeah. And, yeah, they... It's just video the whole time, like, while they're playing in the back. Like, of course, there was the Tribunal concert intro, and of course, Charles fucking Oftinson. there were a couple of instances of concert etiquette lessons, courtesy of the band's mascot, Facebones. Did you know that etiquette is a French word for how not to be a stupid asshole? Also, take a shower. And I think he was trying to lecture us on drugs and alcohol use at one point, but... He never actually got to that because he just went on a really weird drug trip for like 5 minutes.
Yep, that's our face bones.
Man, y'all are hiding the good shit from me. Fucking face bones, tell us this shit. But, yeah, that was a very, very fun time. They sound great live. Not much else to report. I mean, unless you want to experience it for yourself. So, yeah, good time. I'm gonna be... I already kind of miss it, man. I don't really have anything else to add from there other than I did finally finish sitting through the Netflix adaptation of One Piece, the other thing that obsessively rots my life day to day other than Chainsaw Man. It's actually very good, and I'm not sure how I'm supposed to feel about that. They defied expectations and made a good adaptation to the point where I will be genuinely sad if this does not get a season 2.
You know, if you would have told me that way back when Death Note, Cowboy Bebop, and One Piece get adaptations, and one of them you said might be on the data, one might not work, and you say that the one that doesn't work is the ones that are more grounded, or you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Anyway, not much else to add, so. Yeah, let's move on to the usual business. This is just going to be like a song-only discussion week. So, of course, remember to check down below for the playlist where we have all the songs we're talking about so you can listen to them, maybe add some new stuff to your playlist and all that fun stuff. I keep saying stuff. Anyway, let's move on. So, starting right here at the top, as we heard a while back, footwork producer Jay Lynn is dropping a new mini-album September 29th called Perspective. We talked about one song already, and we have the next song here, Paradigm, which, okay, I'm just gonna ask real quick, did anybody else think the intro melody sounded like the theme song to Knight Rider? Or is that just me?
Wait, Knight Rider?
Yeah, you know, that David Hasselhoff show with the robot car.
Yeah. Yeah, that one. It goes, da-ba-da-da, that, yeah.
Yeah. I reckon that's the theme song, considering that's the one Busta Rhymes said before. That one song, Turn It Up, / Fire It Up. I'm thinking about, like, maybe? Like, I got a sense of it a bit. A little bit, like...
Maybe it's just a me thing, I don't know, but...
I mean, I do like, since, you know, the usual, you know, footworkedness of this, which is always cool, which, you know, with Jay went on there.
All right. Yeah, so it kind of sounded like that at the beginning, but anyway, it's a lot like the last song we got, where it's a very percussive, heavy song with a lot of acoustic auxiliary elements, and, of course, a hefty amount of Jalen's actual production work in there to, add that synthetic vibe. I dig it.
Yeah, I dig it too. Like, I do sort of hear it now. But like, okay, like in the beginning, yeah, I do hear me hear about going, which, I kind of dig that.
And moving on to the next track here now. So, we have another taste of the upcoming Arm & Hammer album here. As we all know, they are dropping a new album September 29th called We Buy Diabetic Test Strips. Single number 2 here is called Woke Up and Asked Siri How I'm Gonna Die, which that song title honestly kind of sounds like a video you'd see on Fantano's secondary channels. And the beat here we got is produced courtesy of JPEG Mafia. You can tell because it opens with a sample of a lady talking about how much she likes JPEGs. And anyway, as for the beat itself, it's definitely this very, like, weird, floaty, ambient sort of thing at the start that kind of continues through the whole song. You do get a lot of, like, Siri voice samples that poke in and out of the beat. It's this very hazy, almost sort of detached sort of vibe, which makes sense given the lyrics feel like these very abstract depictions of the two living very close to death with a weird awareness of their mortality. Especially in Billy Woods' verse, where it sounds like he's bailing on a wife and kids for death-related reasons that he can't avoid. I dig it. Well, not the idea of him dying and leaving people behind. You know what I mean.
Yeah, this is the most JPEG Mafia song that JPEG Mafia did that he didn't do himself. He just produced, but yeah, you get the point. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, a Peggy thing. Why did I say it like that? But yeah, I mean, but you had to be some good shit. Like, I mean, it's, if it's, I mean, the two are more like, two people gonna like mine and stuff. And you know what? I keep hearing that I think him and Rapper Loose had a beef once, but it was squashed, which is it's all good now because I don't know. This it. But yeah, just be some good shit.
All right, and now moving on to the next track here. So. Looks like we have a new collaborative team of rappers. I don't know if there's going to be like a full album or anything, but it is worth noting that there's now this duo called Black Boys, spelled with a Z and two Ks. Thank God they only stopped at two. Whew. And this is a duo that consists of, Dreamville rapper Jid and Lil Yachty, of all people.
Okay, that's something that I never thought would happen in years, but I guess they seem to fuck with each other. I don't know.
That is a team up for sure, and you know, we have two songs from this newly announced duo to talk about here. The first of which is called "Half Doing Dope," which features a guest verse from a rapper named Babytron. And I gotta admit, I dig the beat on this one. The melodic samples over top the trap beat give it like a nice serenity to things. I don't really think much of, like, the actual rapping. Like, Jid sounds fine, Yachty sounds like Yachty, Babytron sounds good. But, yeah, that beat is pretty good, which, I can't say the same about, the other track, Van Gogh, which, honestly, that song is just kind of in one ear and out the other. I don't really have much to say on that.
Yeah, putting on Van Gogh was built around the V6 Mafia sample, which still comes to the track sitting around for a long time, which okay. I mean, the check sounds fine. Just like check sounds fine. Like I do think I like Half Doing Dope a little bit more than Van Gogh. Like Van Gogh was okay, but just like it went in my ear, went out of my ear, and like Half Doing Dope is probably the better one because I feel like, you know, all the rappers did their thing. Yachty, Yachty isn't terrible here, which I've been saying that. Well, recently, it's like, I mean, I've been saying, you know, the Yachty hater has been dying down for a long time now. And okay, do like the whole, when the beat drops, I think it was just flowing at the end of the track, which was nice. And maybe Sean did his thing too. I remember what I heard when they thought, oh yeah, maybe Tron was after, well, you know what, maybe Tron was actually, that was a freshman from last year, or was it, you know what, I don't know, I don't know, it's just that I hear him now, and be awesome, good on this. Have doing dope, good. Van Gogh, eh. And then, oh shit, I don't remember, you said it flew in, I mean, went out of your ear. The text called Van Gogh. Oh damn!
Wait, why is that supposed to? Oh god! I didn't even think about that when I said it. Oh god, that is a terrible joke. Hey, to the Rob that's listening to this in the edit, can you cut that out? Yeah, I'm gonna hold you to that, man. Otherwise, you're not eating breakfast tomorrow. I never eat breakfast. I'm bad at taking care of myself sometimes. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, but let's move on to the next track here, which is a collaborative effort between Timbaland, Nelly Furtado, and Justin Timberlake. Wait, what fucking year are we in?
Huh?
Like, 2006?
God.
My 15 again?
Oh, no. Okay. First off, I'm not sure I want to think about the idea of Justin Timberlake on a new song, because it occurs to me that it's been 5 years since Man of the Woods happened, if any of you remember that album happened, and that kind of seems to be like how often he releases solo material now. Oh god, yeah, we're gonna have a new at least let us get a Train Records episode on Man of the Woods.
I mean, if it'd be in 5 years now, you figure it would have happened, but I don't know.
And for that matter,
I'm still.
The last time we heard fucking Timbaland and Justin Timberlake together, that was that shitty ass carry out song. And we don't need any more carry out.
And okay, this is what I've heard Nate Patello in a long ass time.
Yeah, me too. I thought she was like dead or something.
Damn. I
mean, listen, I have a bad habit. If I haven't heard of someone famous for 5 years, I just assume they're dead. I really gotta get better about that.
Okay. Anyway, why do you bring this up? Apparently they have a new single, or a new single which is called Keep Going Up. Which looks like something you would hear from one of those Trolls movies. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Justin Timberlake is a part of that, after all.
Yeah. And it, well, it sounds like a song from that, from those years. It sounds like a pop song that would easily get number one way back then. I mean, you got the beat, you got the very poppy beat from Timbaland, which, I mean, it's fine for what it is. Like, it's a fucking pop, it's a fucking, you know, one of those, you know, early, maybe mid to late songs, like, you know, that always got the, you know, got the club boom shit like that. And I mean, that's all I've got. I mean, the verse from Nate Patello, whatever, it's just there, and Timberlake's there too. He's just doing his thing.
It is most certainly a Timbaland beat. He has produced the same exact beat for 25 years, except for that one time when he produced the song The Way I Are, where he ripped off Salt-N-Pepa's Push It! That's just been bugging me for 15 years. I hate that he got away with that.
Truly one of the great musical crimes of the 21st century.
Along with teaming up with what was that band's name? One Republic.
Oh, that's right.
That was a thing that happened.
I think they're on his label or something. I don't know. Are they on his label or something?
I don't even know. And who even cares? One Republic's irrelevant these days.
Yep.
Anyway. Let's move on to another thing that technically reminds me of the mid-2000s, or just the 2000s in general, who knows. So, let's talk about deathcore for a second. Nowadays, it's a cliche genre to the point of widespread internet ridicule, but back in the nascent days of the mid-2000s, it was just kind of in its infancy, building itself a name on that ancient pillar of the internet known as MySpace. And, of course, one of the most prominent faces to emerge from that scene at the time was Jafra Cowboy, a band from Glendale, Arizona, whose debut album dropped in 2007. But they already had, like, you know, a pretty decent, sizable fan base from the internets. They had three more albums afterwards, their last being 2014's Sun Eater. And, of course, as the band went on, they shifted more and more from deathcore to a more sort of technical death metal sound of sorts. But after that album, they went into musical hibernation for nearly a decade. I'm not exactly sure why off the top of my head, though if I had to hazard a guess, it would probably be because I remember Sun Eater being a very divisive album. Not just stylistically, but the fact that even for deathcore standards, or modern death metal standards, it didn't sell great. I mean, to be fair, it still sold more copies than Trap's latest album sold. But otherwise, yeah, it kind of seemed like people were super mixed on it, to the point where, like, I don't think the band was super eager to drop into the studio anytime soon. To my knowledge, they never really went on hiatus or anything, just kind of a hibernation, so to speak. But now, here we are, after quite a bit of teasing over the past however long it's been, we finally have new studio material from Jafra Cowboy. I don't think there's word of a new album quite yet, but we do have a new single here, the first in 9 years, called The Agony Seeping Storm. And, yeah, it definitely sort of picks up from what I remember of Sun Eater, in that it has a lot of those, like, contemporary extreme metal elements from, like, blast beats all over the place, the shreddy technical noodling in the guitars and bass, honestly, if I had to pick a comparison point, it kind of reminds me a lot of, like, the band Obscura, especially the bass leads. Like, there's this particular, like, break about, like, around the 3 minute mark where the drums kind of settle into this interesting sticking pattern, and those, like, bass leads just kind of noodle all over the place. Again, it kind of depends on how you're going to feel about this depends very heavily. I mean, I liked it, but then again, I'm the one person here that tends to enjoy tech death more than I don't. Again, I'm not entirely sure how this hits with the broader metal populace as a whole. At least those who still remember this band exist.
We'll see in time, but yeah, gone for nearly a decade and coming back with a pretty solid track featuring some rock solid musicianship using the Egyptian scale for maximum chorus. I can dig it. We've certainly come a long way from the days of Slam.
I fucking love Egypt.
That's called onomatopoeia, kids. Learn it.
Yeah. God, that was such a funny time. And now we're moving on to the next track here. You know, I just realized there's a lot of stuff that's going to be dropping September 29th. Is that the one week that finally decides it's going to have interesting stuff happen? But anyway.
Apparently.
Sorry, go ahead.
I said apparently, but yeah, go ahead.
All right, so for the latest addition to the September 29th release calendar, it looks like we have new material to look forward to from 10 Tricks Point Never.
And ooh,
yeah, finally. So the new album is called Again, and I have to say I really love the phrasing of the headlines about this announcement. Like, I've read music news sites enough that you sort of get familiar with how they format titles of their articles, like the technical specifics. Case in point, usually, like, when you read an announcement of a new album, the headline of it usually puts the album title in some kind of, like, typesetting that's, like, different from the rest of the words. So, like, more often than not, it'll be italicized. Which, yeah, when you read it on music news sites, here it makes it sound really passive-aggressive. Like, 10 Tricks Point Never announces new album again. It makes it sound like he's fucking like Viper or something, and he's like dropping 400 albums every week.
God, fucking Viper.
God, that fucking guy. But no, it's just this one album, so you know it'll be quality, because Mr. Lopatin takes his time with this shit. And we, of course, have the track list, the artwork, and the lead single here titled A Barely Lit Path, which, okay, I gotta get a nitpick out of the way. Okay, I'm gonna speak positively to the song, but I need to speak on something that this is one of my biggest pet peeves when it comes to the music industry as a whole.
I think I know what you mean, but go ahead.
Music artists, can we talk mano a mano? I think I might have mentioned this before, but I'm gonna leave a reminder here just in case you might have forgotten. Stop releasing the ending tracks from albums as singles.
Oh, it happened again, I see.
Yep. This is the album closer. Like, leave us a little bit of a surprise for how the album as a whole progressed. This is kind of like the musical equivalent of, like, when you're watching movie trailers, which are so aggressively edited that you see the ending scenes of the movie in them, so it feels like you've seen, like, the end of the movie by the time before it even releases. Sorry, I'm just a guy who likes the surprise of how an album progresses. This just annoys me.
Yeah, I was saying, like, it sort of happened with Caroline Polachek's album, but album like release thing, because of the song that I love so much, the shit, I forgot.
Billions?
Like the song Billions. That was the track that was actually the last track on that album, even though, to be fair, we didn't know it would be the last track, but I don't know. It's just shit happens on, I guess, on that. But yeah, I kind of get what you mean. When it's like, You released the last, you released the wrong track as a single, which kind of annoying, but yeah.
Surprises, they're fun sometimes. But anyway, let's actually get to the song itself, which, yeah, definitely feels like some good 106.9 Never on first listen. You get, in particular, there's a lot of, like, his garbled vocals heavily in the mix, you know, breaking through this wall of, like, serene, ambient, glitchy computer sounds. And in particular, there's a lot of use of, like, orchestral arrangements and samples. Like, partway through, there's, like, this really great classical string orchestration that plays off against more of those weird vocals and a lot of these melodic synth runs. It is definitely OPN to a T, and I'm looking forward to hearing more, although if they release the second-to-last track as the next single, I feel like they're going to be doing that on purpose.
Oh god, here's the second single, Ubiquity World, which, wait, hold on, they're gonna be funny and frustrating, and yeah, I will say for the song itself, this reminds me more of, like, most of his score work, to be honest, like, or at least something you would hear at it, well, if you did a score, it's like a film score. Film score, you know, from the orchestral sounds, electronic sound meshed together with his vocals, and of course, we gotta talk about the weird music video, which I'm guessing Crash Test Dummies are hurling towards, I don't know, the wall or something. Shit, I don't know what's going on. Just like it's some crazy shit going on.
Yeah. There's always weird stuff happening in OPN videos.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, sure. I remember like him in a video with Val Kilmer in it. It just, I don't know, just in the room, just, I don't know, just happened. Just this shit happening in there. Which,
yep. Now let's move on to the last track that we have to discuss here. And oh, hey, it's another one of the alarms going off. And look at that. It's in Alex's corner this time.
Yes. It's Stephen Wilson O'Clock, motherfuckers. Gather around, prog kids. Daddy Steve has a new album coming out this month. The Harmony Codex, September 29th. There's that day again.
Telling you, the one day that the industry decides to give us stuff.
Sure.
And all the flavors, apparently.
Yeah. And the first single, Economies of Scale, is out. It's a track that carries plenty of genre styling from the Future Bites, with electronics mixing with piano and acoustic guitar and plenty of vocal layering. Has it really been almost 3 years since that album came out? Time. It's not real. But yeah, this is a pretty solid track. Much more subdued and laid back, with a steady pop groove carrying everything. Now, if this album is more of a continuation of the Future Bites in scope and style, I think we'll all be in the clear, but there's this one thing about Stephen Wilson's solo albums and me, in that I like every other solo album he does. Insurgenti, some good cuts, but too much droning Clark noisecapes for me. Grace for Drowning, fantastic blend of progressive rock and jazz fusion. The Raven Who Refused to Sing, too much 70s prog rock influence for me. Hand Cannot Erase, the right amount of modern prog rock influence for me. To the Bone, I didn't like the more wide-open pop flair, and the Future Bites, it was a perfect melding of styles and genre blending. So we'll see if this album can break that cycle in a couple of weeks. I'm crossing my fingers it will.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, because in the years that I've been doing this podcast with you, that pattern, so to speak, has been one of the more fascinating things about hearing you discuss Stephen Wilson's output. Especially when, a while back, I actually did start getting more firsthand familiar with Stephen Wilson and Porcupine Tree, and actually finding myself agreeing with that assessment.
It's weird, huh?
Very. Yeah, I can say that I dig the arrangement on here. It's got a good mix of that kind of low-key synthetic drums, the very ambient melodies, the piano chords, and a lot of really great vocal layering and stuff, not just from Wilson, but also like a lot of the backing arrangements. So, positive sign so far? Could the streak be broken? We shall see.
Yeah, we shall see.
So, that about does it for the new song discussions. Only other thing to touch on here is the new album releases for the week of September 8th, 2023. So, starting right at the top, we have the newest album from Dying Fetus with Make Them Beg for Death. We have the new studio album from Cryptopsy with As Gamora Burns. We have the newest album from Caveller Talk with Endling. We have a new Mistake, courtesy of Puddle of Mud, with Ubiquitous.
It's still around?
Unfortunately. Honestly, at this point, after the Nirvana performance, I'm convinced that Wes Scantlin has a humiliation kink. There's a new collaborative project from 38 Spesh and Conway the Machine called Special Machinery. From Tinashe, there's a new album, Baby Angel. I think that's how it's pronounced. From the Chemical Brothers, we have the new album, For the Beautiful Feeling. And last but certainly not least, the new studio album from Olivia Rodrigo with Guts.
Give us chart success. We need it.
It is now time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Places. I'm still trying to figure out my place on the internet. I'll get back to you on that. I'm trying to figure out some things because the internet is a cesspool run by a man-child. Several man-children, to be specific.
All right. That is very much true. Can't this fucking... Anyway, Mark, what about you?
As usual, look me up on the Matchhider Media on wherever you find me, or Matchhider Hybrid in case you want me on Discord. Of course, my site, my hype1.com. Well, it's a December meeting. Things might be here soon. Shit might be on my site soon, so stay tuned for that.
All right, noted. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc., at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, roberts@surrealresearch.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, still at SurrealRezzo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, SurrealResolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast M&A, all of that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to jump into our Discord server so you can be immediately notified whenever anything new gets posted to the site. And that'll pretty much about do it. So, thank you for listening. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business and, of course, the album roundup for August as well as July. So, until next time, always remember the immortal words of Nathan Explosion. That's doable.
And how.